Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. In this episode, I talk to singer and actor Norm Lewis. He's one of those people who has accomplished a lot on the stage, but you may not have heard of. He's coming back to Texarkana this weekend to do a solo show at the Perot Theater. We talked about his whole path from singing in church as a kid all the way up to a Tony nomination. It was a really interesting conversation, and I think you'll enjoy it. Here's me and Norm Lewis. Joining me on the phone, it's the great Norm Lewis. Hi, Norm.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. It's so good to talk to you. We're really looking forward to you coming back to Texarkana.
I'm looking forward to coming to Texarkana myself. I'm excited.
Well, we're definitely going to talk about that show, but I'm really interested in your story. I gather you grew up in Florida. Is that right?
Yes, a small town called Eatonville, Florida, which is right outside of Orlando.
And I've got to ask you about this. I read you worked it for one time at the Orlando Sentinel newspaper. Is that correct?
Yeah, I started out in the production department where you basically, it sounds a little bit more professional than it is, but I put a paper into a machine that opened it up and then coupons fell in.
So,
I did that for a little while. Then I moved to the marketing department and helped with some of the selling some of the products that they have. And then there was an opportunity that opened up in the advertising department. So I got into advertising for about, 3 years, and it was a lot of fun. Telephone sales and then a little bit of outside sales.
Well, we all got to start someplace.
Yeah, absolutely.
What were you seeing and listening to back then that first got you interested in show business?
Wow. So I was, listening to a lot of shows from different Broadway cast albums, things like that. I was heavily into the church back at that time. And I remember I got into a lot of contemporary Christian artists that were very dramatic. So there was a guy named Lionel Harris, who had this beautiful tenor voice, and also you probably know Sandy Patty. And it was back in the day where you could buy cassette tapes that had the instrumental of the music that they sang. And then I would go and get a collection of, I had a lot of those, and then I would go and sing at different churches. And it was a lot of fun. Sometimes I would get a lot of funny looks because I was singing an interesting sort of style of music in an interesting sort of church. But I kind of attribute that to some of honing my skills.
So is that when you got the bug? When did you think maybe I could do this for a living?
Well, it's funny because I got into singing later in life. I sang in church as a kid, but then found my voice in high school. But it was always a hobby. And then I kept doing it in college, but I still majored in business just because it was more practical. But I always sang, and then even as working in for the newspaper, I still would sing sometimes at night or on the weekends at different weddings or contests, things like that. And I got discovered, really. I was at a contest, and there was a guy who was judging our contest, who was a producer for a cruise ship, which I didn't know until afterwards. But I happened to win that particular contest, luckily, and the guy came up to me and said, I need someone like you on my cruise ship. How would you like to do this? And so it kind of was a reality that came into my face, and it was like, oh, now I can make a decision now. And so I talked it over with my boss. I talked it over with my, at the time, my fiance, and we all made a decision, go for it. And that's over 40 years ago, I think now.
Wow. So how did you get from the cruise ship to Broadway?
So, let's see, this is how the universe works. This is how God works. So I, got that job, and tried a new venture in my life. And I met people that were on the ship, in the show that I came into that were professional, performers. had been on Broadway or had done a lot of regional theater, some TV, things like that. And I just watched them and did my job and did it for about 4 months and was encouraged by them to move to New York and start studying, because I was actually going to go back to school, study, and then move 2 years later. But someone said, no, go to New York, study up there, audition, and see if you can work. And that's basically from their encouragement, that's what happened.
And what was the first big show you got that you felt really excited about?
Wow. Well, okay, so to categorize them. So the first year, I actually stayed non-union on purpose. Like, I didn't want to become, I thought being a union member was like Shangri-La. And I was like, okay, So I stayed non-union and found my lane for about a year.
Uh-huh.
But interesting, and I bring that up because the second show that I ended up doing was with Nipsey Russell.
Oh, wow.
At the Harris Marina in Atlantic City. So I got to work with a star, even though I was non-union.
Hmm.
So that was a big deal for me. but then I guess to kind of put it in more layman's term, as far as my big break, if you will, I ended up getting the Who's Tommy. That was my first big show on Broadway. And it just kind of kept escalating from there.
So at that point, did you ever even dream you would have the career that you've had at this point? Tony,
no,
nominations,
really.
been in every show under the sun. It's really remarkable what you've done.
No, I'm truly grateful and blessed to have the career I've had. But no, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I literally just wanted to show up and show out and hopefully get a job. And that's, you know, I would say the majority of the time, about 80% of the time it happened and it worked for me. But then there was that other 20% that was like, oh, man, I missed out on that. I didn't do well.
I'm going to link to your website in the show notes where people can see the whole long list of everything you've been in. But I picked out a few highlights.
Okay.
In the role of Porgy and Porgy and Best in 2012, you got a Tony nomination and a handful of other award nominations. You were the first African-American to play the Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. And more recently, you were one of the Five Bloods in that very well-received Spike Lee movie from a few years back.
Yeah.
Let's start there. What was that like, working with that really amazing cast and being on location and all that?
That was beyond my wildest dreams. So I had met Spike Lee over the years at different events and things, and we had become very friendly. But, you know, I never asked him for a job, or he never brought me in or anything like that. So, but it was always just on a friendly basis. One night he got my phone number and he called me and he said, hey, what are you doing? I said, nothing. He's like, I'm sending you a script. I want you to read it. And then he hung up and I was like, okay. And then, so I did what Spike told me to do. I read the script. And then the next morning he called, he said, what do you think? I said, loved it. It's great. Still don't know where his intentions are, but he said, I want you to meet me for dinner and let's talk over the script. So I said, okay. So I met him for dinner that night and we talked. And then he said, how would you like to play this role? And inside I'm jumping up and down like a little schoolgirl, but outside I'm like, yeah, man, I think that'd be cool.
Wow.
And so trying to be calm, cool, and collected here. But no, it was great. And then, you know, we left a couple of weeks later and went to Thailand to shoot those jungle scenes. And then the scenes that were at Ho Chi Minh City, which were the modern day scenes, we did that like at the end of the movie, which was which was a blessing, because all of that other stuff was really like tiring. And I'm so glad we got that over with in the beginning. And, you know, to work with that amazing cast, to have that big budget of Netflix that, you know, that they gave us, and to work with such an icon as Spike Lee, it was fantastic. We were so disappointed, though, just the fact that we couldn't release the film to theaters because of COVID, because of the COVID situation. So
yeah.
It had a really good run on Netflix, and it still does have a good run on Netflix. But we missed out on that red carpet sort of situation. We were actually supposed to debut at Cannes that year, and obviously we couldn't. So,
well, I recommend it to anybody listening who hasn't watched it yet. I won't spoil what happens to your character, but it's a very affecting movie. How'd you get the Phantom role? How did that come about?
Andrew Lloyd Webber just called me up and said, hey, no. What happened was a really good friend of mine who I've worked with before, we call each other brothers. His name is Hugh Panero. He had been playing the Phantom for many, many years. And for some reason, he decided not to renew his contract for this particular time. And it left that position open. So it's interesting because how the universe works. I had been at a symposium that was done at Kennedy Center about different voice types and gospel and jazz and Broadway and things like that. It was this big, Renee Fleming was in charge of it. I think it even had a PBS sort of presence, but Renee Fleming was over this program and they had like a 3-day situation going on and then a big concert at the end. And being that it was a 3-day event, I was on a panel about our industry. And someone from the audience asked the question about being a minority in the industry and yada, yada, and dream roles and things like that. And I said, well, it's interesting that you ask, because I would love to play the Phantom one of these days. And the people who hire for the Phantom were actually on the panel as well. And so I looked at them, and we know each other, but it kind of sparked something in their brain. And then, you know, some time goes by, and later on, my friend not renewing, I guess that they kept that in mind and brought me in to audition. And I remember auditioning for Hal Prince and a few of the other people that were in charge on the stage of the Majestic Theater. And it was really a moment that I'll never forget, because I heard, believe it or not, I know this sounds really weird and woo-woo, but I heard the voices of people living and the people who have passed on, who I've admired, like Paul Robeson and people like Andre DeShields, who's still living, you know, things like that. Yeah. But I heard these voices saying, go get it. And that's what I did. I went on that stage during that audition and just gave it my all. And if they didn't accept me from that, at least I knew I did my best. But luckily it worked out in my favor.
Is it the kind of music that you had been familiar with for a long time? Did you have to rehearse a lot, or did you just go?
I knew it.
Give it a shot.
I knew the iconic song, obviously. But I was familiar with the show. That song definitely, I knew it. And then obviously a couple of other little things that they wanted you to go over, but a couple of the scene work, it was remarkable for me. It was one of my best auditions.
Great. Like I said, you've been in just about every musical people might have heard of. Sweeney Todd, Miss Saigon. You mentioned Tommy. You were in that Jesus Christ Superstar that was on TV recently. Just a whole long list of other things. Is there any show or role that you haven't done that's still on your list?
No, you know, I've been blessed to be able to do a lot of dream roles, like you've listed some of them there. I'm looking forward to the new landscape of new work, you know, whether that be musicals or dramatic plays or comedies or things like that. I'm looking forward to the new stuff.
Great. So let's talk about your show coming up here in the Perot Theater. It's called Blockbuster Broadway. What can people expect? What kind of show is it?
Well, what I tell people all the time is that I'm definitely going to do Norm's greatest hit. So you'll be hearing stuff from Les Mis and Phantom. And Porgy and Bess. And then you will probably definitely hear songs that have inspired me throughout the years that have, I have a story behind them, or people who are known for those songs that, you know, the what they've done for me as mentors, whether they know it or not, things like that. And I just, I like to tell great stories.
So doing a solo show, is that more pressure on you since you're the only person on stage, or less pressure because it's just more of a casual experience than a big Broadway show?
Yeah, it's more, it's less pressure for me than being in a Broadway show, because I maybe because I'm a big ham or something, but I like relating to the audience. And, you know, you're not coming to see a show, and I'll probably reiterate this the night of, but you're not coming to see a show. You're coming to like hang out with me, and we're just going to have a good time. And there's going to be a little bit of audience participation. You know, I'm not going to try to bring somebody on and do a conga line, but, but I will want to talk to some people or laugh with some people or things like that. And it's just, yeah, it's just a fun party.
What kind of accompaniment do you use? Is there a band that travels with you, or how does that work?
Usually I will, it depends on the venue. Sometimes they will only ask for a piano. Sometimes I will take a trio. Most of the times I take a trio. So it's piano, bass, and drums. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the opportunity to work with an orchestra like this is, you know, that those things you really treasure, because you get to hear the fullness of a song with the strings and the horns and, you know, the percussion and things like that. And so I treasure those moments when I get to work with an orchestra.
Well, we're really looking forward to it. Is there anything else you'd like us to know? What's up next for you? And how can people find you?
Just more concerts. You can find me on Instagram. And I try to keep up with my website. I need to do a little bit better on that. But I try to let people know where I'm going to be. And I think next year I'm going to have a little bit more presence on Instagram and try to relate to my fans that way. I might even do TikTok. I might. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I've avoided that so far myself. All right. Well, thanks so much for taking a minute to talk to us. And we will see you at the Perot Theater.
All right. I can't wait.
All right. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right. On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. Follow On the Line on our website, texarkanagazette.com/podcast. To support the show, post a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. And please, spread the word by sharing a link or telling a friend.